Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, I get it. I used to be the one planning my day around finding a bathroom and living in fear of an accident. I tried the pills and pads, but they just weren't working for me. If you're living like I was, it's time to find an expert physician and ask them about Axonix therapy. It's not another drug. It's an advanced therapy that is proven to provide lasting relief for overactive bladder. Still not sure? You can even try it first to make sure it works for you. You're not alone, and you don't have to put up with this anymore. You just have to take the first step towards finding real relief.
Visit findrealrelief.com to find a bladder specialist. That's findrealrelief.com. Consult a bladder specialist to find out if Axonix is right for you. Results and experiences may vary. Risks can result from Axonix therapy that may require surgical intervention. Available by prescription only. For more information about safety and potential risks, go to findrealrelief.com.
Is the main event.
This is your main event. Mark's podcast brought to you by the Unhinged Sports Network and the Belly Up Sports Network. I am your first host, lifelong wrestling fan, former radio guy, and cat dad. I am Troy, and with me as always, he is the WCW Watcher of Classic Wrestling and the main event collector. He is a Rey Mysterio Jr. to my Billy Kidman, that filthy animal, Greg. What's up, Greg?
I had to be the guy from San Diego.
Well, yeah, I mean, doesn't it fit? I mean, like, you know.
I hate the Chargers, even though they're not there anymore, but.
Good Lord. Didn't he have a couple outfits that were, like, Charger colors?
He did, and regrettably, I kind of liked them. Look, I'll be honest, I like the Chargers color scheme. I'm not against that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like the way the Ravens, you know, I was always like, man, there's anything I can say good about the Ravens. I kind of think their colors are cool.
Yeah, right.
But other than that, F them.
Also, we can't say watch your classic wrestling, dude. We got copyrighted. I kind of feel proud of that a little bit.
Yeah, right. Yeah. To anybody out there, you may have seen, if you follow us on social media, I have a WWE, Walking Wrestling Encyclopedia t-shirt out there or design. Oh, no, that's still out there.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. Other one.
And then I have an ECW one out there that's Encyclopedia of Classic Wrestling. And then I put one that said Watcher of Classic Wrestling, WCW. That one got flagged by the WWE as copyright. So
what really made me laugh is the WCW logo you used.
Yeah. It's
it was not the classic purple ones.
No. It is a it's kind of a parody of, and it was handmade by me. But it's made to look like the WWE version of the WCW logo. You know, the one that WCW never actually used themselves. But, yeah, and it's not the same. It's different. I changed it up a little bit. And like I said, I made it myself. I didn't copy and paste. But somehow that still got flagged for copyright. I'm going to change it up a little bit, see if I can get that out there. If any of you want to follow, go to our Redbubble store. You know, we advertise it. Stick around for the first break. We'll let you know where to go, where to find all of our merchandise. We've sold a few things already, so thank you to everybody who listens and buys and all that good stuff. Appreciate it very much. But yeah,
one more thing. If we're ever going to rip off a logo, that's not going to be the one I choose. I'm just going to put that out there.
Right. Exactly. But yeah, man, today we're talking about Fall Brawl 1999. When I booked the show, I never seen it before, so I went into this blind, not knowing what I was doing.
And you still wish you hadn't.
Yeah, pretty much. Not to ruin later ratings and whatever. But, you know, it is what it is. And whatever, we're getting this one out of the way now. And, hey, don't tune out because there's some interesting stuff to talk about on the show for sure. And, you know, we'll get into the historic value of some of this stuff or lack thereof here soon. But
TJ is being liberal with words today.
Yeah, right. We're going to take our normal pause right here and just let you know that the Main Event Marks is sponsored by Fanatics. Get all your officially licensed sports gear for your favorite teams, leagues, players, all at fanatics.com. And click on the link down in the podcast description. We're going to talk more about them in the upcoming breaks. But, you know, there's a lot of sports that are going on right now, so definitely go get your sports gear now. They've got daily deals over at Fanatics, and when you check out, let them know that the Main Event Marks and the Unhinged Sports Network sent you. Also, we are excited to announce our new sponsorship from Swift Lifestyles. They are clean energy drinks and focus enhancers, great tasting vitamins, and big brain nootropics that are made and shipped from the USA. Go to SwiftLifestyles.com and use our special promo code MAINEVENTMARKS, all one word, no spaces, for 15% off your order. That's MAINEVENTMARKS at checkout at SwiftLifestyles.com. And if you are listening on the podcast feed, first of all, thank you. We very much appreciate your downloads. And we ask that you please leave a 5-star review, leave some feedback, and please subscribe. Think about subscribing and encourage others to subscribe. You know, not a lot of people are out there doing a whole lot of made by fan, for fan, retro wrestling stuff. It's usually current, so we try to go back in time and bring you the best fan-made content on retro wrestling possible. So please think about subscribing and let people know. Spread the word about the Main Event Marks and what we're doing here. And you can also catch us live multiple times a week on Radio Unhinged, baby. You can go to unhingedsn.airtime.pro. We debut our brand new episode live Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and we got an immediate replay at 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. That is unhingedsn.airtime.pro. We got replays throughout the week, Thursdays, Fridays, and Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Again, unhingedsn.airtime.pro. We are live. Anyway, now that we're done letting you know about all those great products, definitely hang around. After this break, we're going to get into the news and notes right after this.
Follow the Main Event Marks at facebook.com/MainEventMarksPod, on Twitter at @MainEvent_Marks, and on Instagram at @MainEvent_Marks and at @MainEventCollector.
Get all the best podcast swag from the Main Event Marks. Our merch shop offers custom graphics, including the podcast logo, on hats, shirts, masks, greeting cards, and more. There are tons of new designs with more dropping all the time. Just head on over to redbubble.com/people/MainEventMarks to grab your podcast merch today and become an official Main Event Mark. That's redbubble.com/people/MainEventMarks.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
The Main Event Marks are available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Now back to the show.
All right, we are back.
Now we're back.
Before we dive into the news and notes, I want to remind you that Yeats aims to provide the most unique and high-quality sunglasses on the market at an unbeatable price that's built from... Oh, crap. They're built from the latest manufacturing techniques. Yeats shades are made from for comfort, durability, and big yeats moments. And on top of that, a percentage of all the profits go towards beach cleanups and other community outreach programs. No matter your style, their shades are here to help you chase your vision. Go to yeatsofficial.com and use the promo code BELLYUPPOD to save 10% at checkout. That's yeetzofficial.com and use that promo code BELLYUPPOD. That's BELLYUPPOD and save yourself 10% at checkouts. It's yeats, baby. Time to get into the news and notes here. Last week we started the trend, the unfortunate trend again that we had going for a while of death at the beginning of every show.
Yeah, right.
Well, we got some more this week, and if anybody actually watched Fall Brawl 1999, you know who it is. Beloved referee Brian Hildebrand passed away at the age of 37 after a long battle with stomach cancer.
37, dude.
Yeah, I know. That's, he looked older, maybe it was the stash, but, man, that really sucks. He was Brian Curtis, right?
Was it Brian or Mark?
Mark Curtis, that's yeah. It, I'm sorry. Yeah, Mark Curtis, the referee, his middle name was actually Curtis, so I don't know where the Mark came from.
Maybe he was one.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's like, a more show, so it's not a shot. Anyone think that is?
Yeah, you know, right. Not. Well, check this out. I had made mention to you about this off air last week, but he occasionally wrestled as Cowabunga, fully costumed like a Ninja Turtle. Yeah. He was nicknamed the Shooter.
Where?
Huh?
Where?
In Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Alright, because I don't remember that ever, but I didn't watch Smoky Mountain, so okay.
Yeah. And he did some work as a ref in ECW. I did not know that. But
I feel like I saw him on there once and thought it was him.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess he did in, after Smoky Mountain Wrestling closed in 1995, he went on to work as a referee in ECW under his real name. After leaving ECW, he went on to work as referee Mark Curtis in World Championship Wrestling. Apparently, I didn't know this because they had made mention of his nickname on the show, on Fall Brawl here, but he earned the nickname The Shooter after a fan attempted to interfere in a match between Psychosis and Dean Malenko on the September 8th, 1997 edition of Nitro.
I remember this.
As the invading fans slid under the bottom rope to enter the ring, Hildebrand, who happened to have glanced over just as a man jumped the guardrail, kneed the fan in the face and placed the man in a guillotine choke and held him there until WCW security could take him into custody. Holy cow.
I think there was another incident with Macho Man, and I think he might have stopped the fan then, too.
That's awesome. Well, apparently, after this incident, Bobby Heenan said, "The smallest referee in the world just took him down." He was about my size, by the way. He's 5'6 and 145, or was 5'6 and 145 pounds. Mother of God.
No.
Yeah, so he was about my size.
That's why his one-man gang didn't eat him for lunch.
Good Lord. Maybe he was nice to him. Oh, he was also, his likeness was used as the cartoon referee in WCW NWO Revenge.
I had that game. I don't remember that. Well, I mean, you know, I thought I was paying attention to the ref, to be fair.
Yeah, right. It's not... Not like you looked over, you were like, wait a minute, that's Mark Curtis. an unfortunate story here after that one, more unfortunateness. That's not even a word. Making up words here on the show, people.
So we do. We're writing our own dictionary. It's coming out this fall. Get it for Christmas. Right.
Yeah, the Mark Dictionary. But Dr.
That sounds like a horrible wrestling name. Mark Dictionary.
Good grief. Hey, that's Damian Sandow's new name when he debuts in AEW.
Isn't he already in NWA?
Yeah, he is. I think he's going by his real name, Aaron Stevens, or whatever the hell. Dr. Joel Hackett is under investigation for illegally distributing drugs to wrestlers. It has been confirmed that the somas that Louis Spicoli died from were prescribed by Hackett. Hackett also provided drugs to Brian Pillman. When Pillman was found dead in 1997, police found 8 different prescription bottles in his possession, though his death was not ruled an overdose. Yeah, that's nuts. Pillman heavily used HGH, prescribed by a different doctor, but quit taking it when he could no longer afford it. There's also a third dead wrestler who reportedly received drugs from Hackett, though it's still unknown who that was. At the scene of Spicoli's death, they found somas as well as steroids prescribed by Hackett.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's that comedian's name? Buddy Wackett?
Good lord. Well, in medicine...
We got the Tommy Boy reference in early this week. There we go.
Yeah, right. Apparently, this guy... Holy cow. First thing when you search for this guy, the first thing that comes up is his nickname was Dr. Feelgood.
Holy crap!
Yeah, they nicknamed him that because of all the drugs he prescribed, apparently.
I feel bad laughing because none of this is funny, but wow.
Good. Yeah. Lord. Check this out. Wrestling doctor charged on 48 counts. This is by IGN. This was back in 2001 he was charged. Indianapolis physician Dr. Joel Hackett was charged today on 48 counts. According to WrestlingObserver.com, 24 of those counts are for making false statements and prescriptions, while the other 24 are for controlled substance fraud and deceit. He is linked to the deaths of at least two wrestlers, Brian Pillman and Louis Piccoli. He is said to be responsible for another wrestler's death as well, but that person's name has not been made available. Yikes, man. But I don't know if he got charged, because when you search for him, you find the address to his business, like his practice in Indianapolis.
There's a good chance that they just couldn't prove it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not defending the son of a bitch, don't get me wrong, but it's like, at the same time, these wrestlers came to him for this stuff. He wasn't, like, shoving it down anyone's throats. And he was giving it to him.
Right.
But, like, they were going for it. So, you know, you got to look at all sides, to be fair.
I'm wondering if... I don't know if this is the same guy. I don't know. This... What did I say? Joel Hackett? Yeah, there's a Joel Hackett that passed away in Indianapolis in 2006. But it doesn't say if it's the same guy. I don't know. If somebody can clear that up, I don't know if that's just a weird coincidence or what.
Oh, don't worry. Someone will.
Right. WCW is still planning on doing a pay-per-view on New Year's Eve, co-promoting it as a full Kiss concert. WCW already has pay-per-view on 11 days before that.
Yeah, that would never happen.
Right, yeah. That was supposed to be New Year's Evil. And if anybody listens to 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff, he wanted to do, like, he wanted to do it at a football stadium. I know that.
And, yeah, one end zone was going to be a ring, the other end zone was going to be a stage, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, I think the ring was like supposed to be like set up in the center, and the actual like wrestling stage was going to be on one side, and then the Kiss stage was going to be on the other side. Yeah. So basically, like what you were saying. And then yeah, he said it was supposed to be like match song.
Now, also, I don't know if this happened before or after, but Kiss ended up doing a performance on Nitro where they introduced the Demon. I don't remember if it's before or after. I want to say it was before.
Mm. Well, I know.
Before this was, what I mean by is it was before this was supposed to happen. So.
Right. Well, somebody pointed out, or it might have been Uncle Dave. He was talking about,
I'm going to just tune out now.
Wow. Well, he was talking about how, you know, it all fell through and whatever. He's like, it might be for the best. It's not like Kiss is exactly setting the woods on fire in 1999. Like,
it's still Kiss, though.
I know. It's like, it's a legendary. That's like saying, well, you know, I mean, it's 2021. Who wants to see Ozzy Osbourne perform? It's like, he's a freaking legend. But anyway. Insane Clown Posse member Violent J is no longer doing a moonsault after being confronted by Hugh Morris about using the move. Never thought I'd say that sentence, but...
Correct me if I'm wrong, Violent J was the overweight one, right?
Yeah, the one with the spiky hair.
Yeah, that makes sense, because that was Hugh Morris's thing. He was a 300-pound guy doing moonsaults, and I guess Vader didn't count, apparently, but whatever. Oh, right. Vader was 400, okay. There we go.
Yeah, right. Well, Violet J actually wrote about this in his book, saying that he came backstage after doing it, and Hugh Morris was throwing a fit, kicking over trash cans and such. Eric Bischoff came up to ICP and said, "Don't do the moonsault anymore. Hugh Morris is the only big guy that does moonsaults."
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess. I get it. They didn't have, like, multiple big dudes doing that move at a time, and I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think...
Look. I might get some heat for this, but does anybody really give a damn about Hugh Morris or the ICP? Is anybody watching these matches?
Hey, man. People, like, they tried to make you give a damn about Hugh Morris. I never did, but at least they tried.
What's the word I'm looking for? Guilty pleasure liked the MIA.
Yeah. Anyway. The Undertaker's pulled groin injury is so bad that he's having trouble walking and even putting clothes on, so he was given the weekend off of house shows. Oh, well, that's charitable of him.
And he's about to disappear until Judgment Day 2000.
Do you remember what the actual injury was that he had? Was it the...
I don't remember, honestly. I don't remember them saying he's gone. I don't remember him being, like beaten up by somebody and taken off. I just remember him, like, he's just gone. Like, right. He had that team with Big Show, and then he was gone. Big Show became champion, Undertaker's wherever, and he would show up on the bike at Judgment Day 2000 during the Iron Man match. That's my whole knowledge of that whole time, at least TV-wise. Sorry, I didn't read all the gossip reports, and someone's going to get mad at me for that, but I don't like doing that. But going off of what I've seen on TV. And I watched every single show every single week, just as I do now. So that was it. They didn't write him off, really.
Well,
unless my memory is completely shot, but I feel like they didn't.
Well, they said he was, you know, treating this groin injury at the time, and he didn't return to action, actually, until December 14th. So
I don't think he was ever on TV, though.
Said he made his return to action on December 14th, teaming with Viscera in a losing effort against Kane and Godfather at a house show in Cuomo, Puerto Rico. The Undertaker was advertised on the Armageddon promotional poster to return, but meanwhile also tore his pectoral muscle, making him take almost 8 months out of action.
So that was probably obviously they're like, oh, they're in Puerto Rico, they need him to do it. That's going to be my guess. I don't know. But,
yeah. Because
they only go there like once a year, and
right, and the thing was, it's like, so did he come back for this one match and get seriously hurt, or did he get hurt after the match? Well, it doesn't really specify.
He was there with Viscera, and apparently he's hurt a lot of people.
Yeah, and that was his teammate in the match too. So. Somebody who's scheduled to return, by the way, the British Bulldog is scheduled to re-debut in the WWF at the October UK pay-per-view.
Which that reminds me, I gotta pick up that new figure of him in the jeans from this era.
Wait, they came out with a new one of him in the jeans?
Yeah, he comes with the Big Boss Man, the SWAT outfit.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
It's a basic two-pack, but I need that Bulldog. That's the only way to get that Bulldog from Mattel.
Yeah, right. Oh, hey, I have that Boss Man as a Jax figure, so there's that. X-Pac is being sued for $500,000 by a man in Wisconsin who claimed he was attacked by X-Pac for asking for an autograph.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know the results of that lawsuit. That's a lot of money, man.
How dare you ask me for an autograph, you SOB?
Yeah, right. I'm gonna knock the crap out of you. What are you, a fan?
You are a dime a dozen. They probably settled it out of court. He got his autograph and a couple of bucks and some front row tickets. I don't know.
Yeah, right. WWF tried to get Shawn Michaels to renegotiate his contract with them, but it didn't work. Michaels is still collecting his $750,000 per year guarantee, despite not wrestling in a year and a half, and only appearing on TV periodically since then. But Michaels' feeling is that he was injured in the ring, thus he didn't feel that he should have to renegotiate new terms, so he refused, and WWF is stuck paying him.
Okay, two things. Number one, he was not injured in the ring. He was injured getting thrown out of the ring.
Yeah, somebody else made that point, too.
I was fair.
Yeah, I hate you for that, by the way.
And number two, he would return, but not in the ring, at Judgment Day 2000. Wow, that's all come up twice.
Yeah, right. So somebody made that point. They're like, well, technically he was injured in midair flying out of the ring, but whatever. You know, semantics. Check this out, man. This week's episode of WWF SmackDown.
Sorry, whenever you say check this out, it usually turns out to be very bad, so let me pace myself.
This actually isn't bad. It's more just like kind of seeing where it is all these years ago. But this week's episode of WWF SmackDown saw the ratings drop half a point from last week's debut. It's interesting because Raw is always the number one rated show every week on cable, but on network TV, SmackDown was ranked 73 out of 122 shows in prime time. Something tells me SmackDown will be just fine.
It's also, what, second, third episode you just said? Or
second episode. Which is, you know, I mean, this is a...
Technically, it's the third, actually, to be fair. The first one aired in May, I think it was, or June.
April.
Yeah, okay. They did a test run in April with it, and then became a show later that year.
No, okay. See, I don't remember that one. But, yeah, so that's another big thing around this time is SmackDown becoming a thing. So.
Bro, it's too much, bro. I gotta leave. That really is the reason he left, though, apparently. It was too much. He said it himself, right. So I'm going off of what I heard the idiot say.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He put it in his book. I mean, it's been confirmed by multiple people. He said he wanted to pay Russo, by the way, for any people that haven't picked up on the hints. Vince Russo.
Oh, yeah, left. Wow.
He said he wanted a pay raise because he's like, well, if I'm working, on an extra show, I should get extra money, which I'm not going to say.
I don't see nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I don't totally disagree with him on that. And his other thing was he's like, well, I should also be compensated because I'm spending a lot of time away from home. And, I never see my kids and my wife wants to work or, you know, whatever. And I guess Vince McMahon said, well, I don't see what the problem is. You make enough money, you just hire a nanny. And wow. apparently Vince Russo just like got really upset about that. And that's why he quit. I don't know, man. It takes a special kind of person. Yeah, I mean, it takes a special kind of person. It really does. And I don't know. It like Bruce Pritchard was talking about that. He was like, well, I mean, we had to hire an au pair at my house. Conrad roasted him about that. He was like, you know, you're living a certain kind of lifestyle and in a certain tax bracket when you use the word au pair. Which is funny because Bruce Pritchard sounds like the most hick dude from Houston, Texas. But
he's
only
like one step below Conrad, really.
Yeah, right. And Conrad sounds like a big hick, but apparently he lives in a big mansion. He makes like damn good money too.
Oh, yeah, he lives in the Conradison.
Hell yeah! Apparently he's got an elevator.
That's just to his freaking collection room.
Yeah, right. I remember what I was thinking. Wasn't SmackDown the reason that Thunder kind of tuck-tailed and ran to another night?
Yeah, but it did multiple times, though. It went against SmackDown and went to Wednesday, and then it went back to Thursday. I believe it was on Tuesday for a minute. I feel like Nitro was on every night but Monday. I feel like Thunder was on every night but Monday.
Yeah, right. And didn't Nitro eventually move to Tuesdays right before it died?
I had a couple of Tuesday showings, but I believe it was because of the NBA.
Ah, okay.
I don't think it ever moved to Tuesday, yeah.
That makes sense, though. Speaking of things working out just fine for them, the future of UFC looks bleaker than ever due to even more financial cutbacks and no signs that pay-per-view providers are going to take them back anytime soon. UFC owner Bob Myrowitz, I don't know, seems to be focused on his new internet radio startup, Aida.com. Never heard of it.
Oh, that's a good sign.
Yeah, right. I'm sure it did well. But he seems more focused on that than he does on UFC these days. There are people who are interested in buying the company, and even the WWF has made inquiries about it, but nothing even remotely serious. When was it? You said 2001 that they sold to the Zuffa brothers?
I feel like it was 2001?
Yeah, and was
Dana White had hair?
Right. So was it I was always confused about that. Was Dana White just like under the Zuffa brothers, or was he part of the purchase?
I think it's Zuffa's name of the company, by the way. They were the Fertitta brothers.
Brothers.
I believe he was a friend of theirs, and they had him run it while they banked it, or banked it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. After a long battle of securing sanctions, SEG stood on the brink of bankruptcy when Station Casino's executive Frank and Lorenzo Fertitta and their business partner Dana White approached them in 2000 with an offer to purchase UFC. A month later, in January 2001, Fertitta bought the UFC for $2
million. $2 million? And they sold it for like $2
billion. Yeah, holy crap. Yeah, like, holy cow, that's freaking chump change.
Wow, I didn't know that part. Wow.
Yeah, right? Like, that's cheaper than what Vince bought WCW for, I think.
God, you want to talk about return on your investment? Holy crap.
I know, right? Like, hot damn, dude. You know they got to be Scrooge McDucking it now, just like diving into a pool full of gold coins.
Right?
Hell. WCW recently released several wrestlers, and Paul Heyman is said to be interested in a few of them, especially Super Callow. He's also willing to use Mikey Whipwreck again on a part-time basis, but said that he doesn't want to bring him back as a main star again because he doesn't want to send a message that people can just leave ECW, go to WCW or WWF, flop, and then come crawling back and have a guaranteed spot. Yeah, about that.
Isn't that what Paul Heyman's done, like, multiple times?
Yeah. It's like...
himself?
Dude, yeah, right. It's like, dude, you ever hear of that old saying, beggars can't be choosers? Like, you get what you get, man.
Let's also be fair, he did not bring him back as a top star.
Right. Oh, Mikey Whipwreck was never going to be a top star. So that's
for those idiots in that arena, they might have.
I mean, he was a star, but...
Just remember, the war top star in ECW is very loose.
Yeah, well, and I'm not even going to make a joke about that, but yeah. Sandman is also interested in coming back to ECW, but Heyman has flat out said that he doesn't want him back because he was upset that Sandman basically quit ECW without notice and didn't even have the courtesy to give Heyman a phone call or let him know he was gone.
How's that going to work out?
Yeah, right. For anybody that doesn't know that you're like, wait, where did Sandman go? He went to WCW for like a minute and he was hardcore hack.
He certainly was a hardcore hack.
Yeah.
He came out wrapped in barbed wire, he was smoking a cigarette. And
yeah, so he was basically the same guy.
He had that porn star with him. Wasn't that Raven's sister? Chastity.
Oh he had Chastity with him?
For a minute, I feel like. Yeah.
I don't remember. I just remember the first time I saw him, I was like, that looks like the Sandman. And I swear to God,
I knew who the Sandman was, but even watching him on Nitro, I didn't realize that was him.
Yeah, it took me a minute. I was like, that looks like the Sandman, but they're calling him Hardcore Hack.
One of my only memories of him there was that night he came out with a cigarette and Bischoff was back in WCW, at least back on TV. And he was like kind of a face and he was doing commentary and he got out of the commentary chair and got in the ring, started using authority. But even though it was being played, like Bischoff was just an announcer again. So if you can follow all that. Yes, that's what I remember. He got in the ring and like you had to stop smoking and all this stuff. It became a thing and never went
think about the children. You don't remember?
That was our truth, that? Right?
Yeah, somebody screamed that in the crowd. Think about the children. Like, what the hell?
Did you get a lot of trouble for, or they got a lot of trouble with that because you're not allowed to do that in England? It was in England, I remember that.
You're just not allowed. I mean, it's against the law to smoke in a building, period. I think that's anywhere. Like,
except in Vegas.
Wait, you can smoke indoors in Vegas?
Dude, every freaking casino room was smoking cigarettes. Hell yeah.
Wow, I had no idea. I thought it was outlawed everywhere. They finally outlawed it in Kentucky a few years ago. Anyway, to continue on with this, they also had some legal issues over money after Sandman left, so there's some bad blood there. Heyman says that he has to set a precedent that you can't just walk out on ECW and then come back like nothing happened. Spoiler, Sandman turned shortly after.
Yes, you could.
Right. I know. It's like, what the hell were you going to do? Heyman also
sign him for $5 less and one less six pack of beer, sir. Yeah.
I will have you know, sir, I will give you a check that bounces. And the only difference is it will be for less money that bounces.
Hell, all he wanted was a keg, dude. He didn't want cash.
Yeah, right. I will downgrade you from Bud Light to Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Man, he might as well kick his ass at that point.
Yeah, right. Heyman also said that he was done with Chris Candido and Tammy Sitch. Candido is no longer under contract anyway, but Sitch still is. Though Heyman said that he would gladly release her if she can get a job anywhere else, and he doesn't intend to stop her from working elsewhere. Oh no, what are you going to do without Tammy and Chris Candido?
He would stick to that, because they would be in WCW very soon.
That's right, I forgot. Wait, Tammy went to WCW? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't know that. I knew Chris was there. I did not know that Tammy went. So, was she there long? I don't think so. Yeah. Well, you know, she's got to get prepped for, you know, her eventual porn debut. So there's that.
Good Lord.
I know for anybody out there, apparently it was way past this. Whatever. I don't care. But next week's ECW show on TNN will air footage of a match from Rob Van Dam versus Jerry Lynn that happened last week, but TNN people were very upset about it because the match wasn't filmed with the TNN crew and doesn't have the production values that they want from ECW, which made me laugh.
I thought... go ahead, I'll after.
But Heyman argued with them that the match should air, and TNN finally relented and let him have his way.
I remember hearing him tell a story, I think it was on the Rise and Fall of ECW, that they made him air that match. They said their first show, they didn't want it, and the theme was too satanic, and they made him air that.
Wow.
Something like that. I haven't watched that documentary in forever, but...
Well, I knew they had to air something else for their first episode, but I don't think this was their first episode. I think this was down the line. Just like a random episode of ECW, but I don't know. Either way, you either believe Paul Heyman or Uncle Dave, and you can't believe either one. So, what you gonna do?
Ah, there's a choice, man.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, how do you want to die? Jump off a bridge or get smothered, you know?
Wow. Shane Douglas recently claimed that ECW owes him $140,000. Oh, man.
That's a random number.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a random number is all.
Yeah, right. Well, Heyman says that that's exaggerated and says that the real number is actually less than $40,000 and that ECW is making payments to Douglas on a payment schedule that both sides agreed to. He said Douglas claimed $140,000, or claiming $140,000 is false and slanderous. If I may have another volley, sir.
Shane Douglas,
how
also
dare
to be
you soil the
WCW.
Good name of Paul Heyman at ECW? Yeah, right. Hey, go get paid by Turner, man. Shut the hell up.
Yeah, they're gonna go make the revolution.
Yeah, right. Despite being the new ECW Tag Team Champions, neither Raven nor Tommy Dreamer are in any shape to be wrestling right now, and are mostly just doing quick spots with DDT finishes at house shows. Dreamer still has back issues, but decided against surgery, and Raven, during the late 90s, was pretty much always just one big walking injury.
Didn't, like, one of those things they used to talk about on commentary was he had so many ankle surgeries that he had to have, like, a lift in his shoe?
Yeah, he got so much of his ankle removed and actually shortened one leg.
So I believe that.
Yeah. I don't know what he kept doing to his ankles, man. Like, damn. Speaking of Raven, though,
I forgot they were tag champions. I think didn't they get them because the Dudleys were on the way out?
Did they beat the Dudleys?
They did, yeah, randomly. Dreamer needed a partner, and Raven showed up back from WCW, and
yeah, the lights went out, the lights came back on, Raven was there. Yeah, because I think it was just Dreamer to start off, and nobody had showed up. And then, like, at the end of the match, he randomly, like, the lights go out, come back on, boom, here's Raven. I think he hit the DDT, pinned him, and yay, they win.
Oh, my God, Dreamer and Raven, I can't believe it. It was kind of a shocking thing. Even back, you know, like, you know, it was, because there was a blood feud for years, so.
Right, and and plus Raven was just in WCW not too long before this.
Yeah, and in 1 year from now, he'll be debuting in WWE.
Yeah, right, I know. Speaking of Raven, his 1 year contract with ECW is for $150,000. Good luck on getting that. Which is about
I just said he went to WWE after in a year, so yeah, he probably didn't get it.
Yeah, right. But that's about half of what he made in WCW. But there are upsides because the contract also gives him full medical coverage and cuts of other revenue like merch sales. Plus, he's only booked to work 12 shows per month, so it's less demanding than WCW schedules.
Which is kind of ironic because didn't Hall and Nash sign because of these less schedules?
Yeah. What gets me is, okay, 12 shows per month, so that's... If you... break that
three
down.
Shows a week?
Yeah, ish. Yeah, 12. Yeah, 3 shows a week.
So, TV taping and 2 house shows? Because I know they used to tape like 3 ECW on TNNs at a time.
Right. And you got to think, you know, 1 pay-per-view a month. So, that, like, hot damn, dude. Like, that's kind of a lot of wrestling in 1 month, but, you know, whatever. But full medical coverage, I'm sure he took full advantage of that. Ugh. Last story here. ECW's upcoming Anarchy Rules pay-per-view will likely end up being the first ever $200,000 gate that the company has ever drawn. As of press time, over 5,000 tickets had already been sold, which is a company record. In the end,
man, that many people like garbage.
what made me laugh is 5,000 tickets is your record? Like, good lord.
200,000, dude. What's the math on that?
I don't know. I can't even think. Like, what the hell was he charging for front row?
I'll say 40 bucks a pop average. Let's see. 200,000. You said 5,000 seats?
Yeah.
So it's 40 bucks a pop. I still got it. Cool. I can still do quick math in my head. Nice. Not that much.
Nice.
That's 40 bucks a pop. Okay. That's okay.
Well, it should make you feel old to do math in your head, because no kid nowadays can do math in their head. It's that common core, man. But in the end, they actually ended up selling 6,000 tickets and had a $208,000 gate. So, good for them, man.
And wrestlers didn't get a dime, and all their checks still bounce.
Right. And they got McDonald's coupons. Calm down. I mean, they were expired, but whatever. He tried.
Yeah, but at least with those, you can rub the expiration date off. You know, the checks still won't clear.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, anyway, that does it for that. Keep those figures in mind, by the way, because we're going to talk about Fall Brawl and their figures here in a moment. But we're going to take our
Excel figures, because those are the best.
Yeah, right. Well, we're going to take our next break. When we come back, we're diving into Fall Brawl 1999. You've been warned.
Follow the Main Event Marks at facebook.com/MainEventMarksPod, on Twitter at MainEvent_Marks, and on Instagram at MainEvent_Marks and at MainEventCollector.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. My name is Thomas, and what's your name?
I'm Alan. Yeah. We're brothers.
That's right.
Yeah. Same mother and father.
Your room was...
We shared a room.
Shared a room.
We shared a room.
Thought I knew your face.
Yeah, we go way back, mate. Yeah.
We should do a podcast then.
We have.
We do a podcast. What's it called?
The...
Brocast.
Yeah, that was planned.
Yeah, well.
What do we do?
Well, we cover all different things in the world of pop culture. We're talking about comic books, we're talking professional wrestling, and we're talking about movies. Go back and watch classic retro wrestling events, the likes of WWE, WCW, and if you do like that, you can check us out on Apple iTunes, also on Podbean, Anchor, and on Podknife. Also check us out on Twitter, at The Brocast, that's B-R-O-K-A-S-T.
Hey, it's all right, good on you.
Yeah. Instagram also at The Brocast Podcast.
Remember, we don't spell it with a C. Spell it with a K.
Sorry, mate.
Take it easy.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
When it comes to service, Rush Truck Centers is committed to making you their top priority. Whether you're looking for same-day preventive maintenance, assistance from their dedicated service concierge team, or 24/7 access to your truck repair status, Rush Truck Centers offer customizable maintenance plans that fit your needs. What are you and your truck waiting for? Schedule an appointment with Rush Truck Center Service Department or ask them to dispatch a mobile service unit when and where you need it. Visit RushTruckCenters.com to find your nearest location. You can expect more from Rush Truck Centers.
The Main Event Marks are available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Now back to the show.
All right, we're back.
We're back.
And we're diving into Fall Brawl 1999. By the way, there are some people that will dispute you on the you saying Mattel figures are the best, man. They'll say, you know, Jax or Jazzwares are the best.
Not even close.
Yeah, I hate.
Jax, their scans were just horrible. Jazzwares showed some good signs of getting better, so I'll give them that. But man, no.
Yeah, I
keep in mind, Jazzwares is an offspring of Jax, keep in mind, so they did evolve. But, like, yeah, there's no competition. Like right. I said, though, I mean, Jazzwares is getting better. Right? Quite a few of the figures have looked damn good, so, you know.
Hey, if they ever come out with a Jazzwares figure of Paul White, I could potentially have a Jax, Jazzwares, and Mattel figure of Paul White.
Oh, that's CM Punk, huh?
I don't have a Jax figure of him. Oh, wait, yeah, I do. I forgot. I do have a random ass, like Punk's ECW look. Of Jax, and I have like three Mattel figures of him.
probably get you a couple hundred bucks for all those. We should talk later, but okay.
Wow.
I'm not all even right. joking.
Well, right now we're talking about September 12th, 1999, Fall Brawl. The tagline was Sting and Hogan Brawl for It All. The venue...
The yes. Brawl for All.
Yep.
I missed that.
Yeah, gotta get that in there. Classic Hogan. But the venue, yet again, is the Lawrence Joel Veterans Memorial Coliseum in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Apparently that was just a Fall Brawl stomping ground because they were there in 96. I don't know about 97 and 98. But anyway, the attendance for this one was 7,491. The pay-per-view buy rate was... this is a 14,407 seat multi-purpose arena. So
5,000, huh?
Sorry, 7,491. So about half. So
that's impressive, I guess, for 99.
Yeah, you had a 50% house. Man, damn, with Hogan and Sting on top. Well, the pay-per-view buy rate was
well over the other channel. You got The Rock and Austin and Triple H, and it's not, in 99, mind you. So
yeah, but this was shortly after Hogan's return to the red and yellow, wasn't it?
Literally the next paper or the paper before this, yeah. So
yeah, so this was kind of a big time, sort of. I don't know, but yeah, business just sucked around this time. We'll get into it.
Yeah, let's just not overlook the fact that it's about to get worse.
Yeah,
but that's for another show.
Right. But the pay-per-view buy rate was 0.35. That amounted to 130,000 buys. Did you get this one?
I was not one of... Well, I saw it.
On Ye Olde Scrambler?
Not mine. Make that clear.
Yeah, right. Hey, I only went to somebody's house who happened to have it on the TV. Okay, I didn't do it, all right? I didn't see nothing. Well, I saw something, but I didn't do nothing, all right?
Wow.
Had to get it in. But this was the first Fall Brawl to not feature a War Games match. The show only drew 3,347 paid and a gate of 97,600. Wow.
So what I just heard was ECW outdrew them.
Yes. For comparison's sake, ECW's upcoming pay-per-view next week has already beaten that in both ticket sales and gate money. Pathetic. So maybe I shouldn't have laughed when I said Heyman thought himself on par with WCW.
No, you should have laughed because he was actually above WCW.
Yeah, that's the sad part. The last two Fall Brawls were sold out, by the way. This year, they gave away an additional 4,000 tickets and then moved fans from higher up sections closer to the front so that the building would at least appear halfway full on camera. Oh my gosh. This is sad.
I really think that it's a lack of War Games because that was the staple of this event.
Right. You got to imagine, Sting came to the ring and he's looking around. He's like, is Jimmy Crockett back running this place?
Jim Hurd.
Yeah, right. The show opens, by the way, without much fanfare. It was just a bit of pyro and then the commentators talk.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. But the commentators talk about how tonight was all about if anyone can trust anyone else. Well, who cares? And I'll get into that point later on in the show, but
barely trust your fans to show up.
Yeah, right. They pulled a Chad Ochocinco there, or Chad Johnson, whatever the hell you want to call him, and literally gave away 4,000 tickets. Yikes. Well, this first match will make you wonder right off the bat, why the hell did they have to give away tickets? Because it's a six-man tag. It's Vampiro and the Insane Clown Posse, Violent J and Shaggy, Two Dope.
Oh, pause, because you know what? No matter what you say, you're not going to top that.
Yeah, right. But they're taking on Eddie Guerrero and the Filthy Animals of Billy Kidman and Rey Mysterio Jr. This is a six-man tag, as I mentioned, that went a little over 14 minutes. This one takes 2 damn years to start going. I felt like the posturing just went on forever.
Everyone's got to dance to music and all that stuff. And,
yeah, right. By the way, who the hell said, you know what, ICP's in this match, we should have him go almost a quarter of an hour? God dang.
Oh, Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero and Kidman are all amazing.
Still, and I like Vampiro, but no. And and they even pointed out on commentary, wow, you'd figure Vampiro would be taking a lot of in-ring time, but, you know, ICP is actually wrestling quite a bit. Like, yeah, I've noticed. Look. Shout out, by the way, to, you know, Violent J apparently has heart issues, which I didn't know about, but, yeah, he's apparently no longer doing anything, as you know, with Too Dope for the ICP, so I guess his career is winding down. But anyway, Tony
Schiavone, trying to be funny, but I didn't know they were still doing stuff.
But anyway, Tony Schiavone makes Mike Tenay and Bobby Heenan geek out when he says that he used to have hair like Vampiro with the dreadlocks.
Holy crap!
And Tenay was like, "You just gonna leave us hanging, huh? No pictures or nothing?" He was like, "Nope, we're moving on." But this match,
moving here,
right? This match was a complete mess, by the way. Vampiro is too close. Vampiro is too close to Kidman for the Shooting Star Press, and Kidman damn near murdered Vampiro with a knee to the temple. Kidman pins him after that. He would do the same thing to Chavo in WWE, wouldn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, wasn't Chavo, like, twitching and crap, and they had to stretch his ass out?
I think so, and then they go and turn it into a thing, too, or this is what he does now.
Yeah, like that. That was a shoot, like, injury. I was, like, I was legit scared for Chavo when I saw that. I was like, holy cow. You could tell it was real. Uncle Dave, by the way, this is why I texted you. I was like, were we watching the same effing show? He gave it 3.25 stars. I gave it a star.
The check must have cleared off.
I know, right? Like, I didn't know he was down with a clown, but whatever.
He's got that Juggalo money, dude.
Yeah, right. He bought into Faygo. But anyway, I gave it 1.5 stars. What say you?
I gave it 1. I can't believe he gave it 3.
3.25 stars.
Okay, what the hell would this have gotten in the Tokyo Dome?
8. that blows my mind. It's just like, what the? But after the match, this was just plagued with injuries, man. Because after the match, Rey Mysterio had to be carried to the back. He apparently injured his knee when he was whipped into the guardrail. I know, shocking. Rey Mysterio injured. And Kidman's Shooting Star Press legit broke Vampiro's nose. And he may have also broken his left eye socket. You want to talk about another dude who is a walking injury. Vampiro.
Damn music.
Well, speaking of music, did you know he was signed to a contract with ICP's label and he was going to put out a rap album, but he lost his hearing so bad he couldn't hear the music?
I feel like I heard someone joke one time about that.
Yeah, like...
That was legit.
Anyway, next, a guy named Chad Diabani from WCW.com is interviewing The Revolution. He asks if they can get a clean sweep tonight, and Saturn says that they guarantee it before they all walk off. What I wanted to know is where's Moppy?
Wow, I don't like that we both went there.
That's the only thing I care about here. Where the hell's the mop?
He didn't shoot on that dude on Heat yet.
Yeah, right. I like how that made it so they just buried his ass.
They kind of did, but I think that thing was, like, super over by accident, so...
Yeah, because people love to laugh at it, but yeah. But in the play-up for the next match, we can see that Lenny Lane and Lodi have basically become the ambiguously gay duo. Like, they're not saying they're gay, but they're making it super obvious, looking
there
like
they're...
There
was a thing on Nitro where they literally were talking and giggling like a teenage couple, and they came out of a thing... It was a closet. But it was labeled closet, and they came out of it.
Of course.
This really happened.
Because you got to make it really, like, you got to shove it down their throats. Like, do you get it? Do you get the joke? They're gay.
Swerve, spoiler, at the end, huge swerve, they weren't gay. They were brothers.
Brothers?
Yeah, that was the end of the whole thing.
Oh, that makes it creepy. Like, what's that?
I didn't do it. This is what happened.
Oh, my gosh. But I said that they basically look like kinksters at a Pride Month event.
Wow.
Don't they? I mean, they've got, like, colorful scrunchies and, well, Lenny has colorful scrunchies in his hair. They're, like, they just paint themselves with glitter. They're wearing highlighter colors and, I don't know.
I like that you're repainting the picture because...
Yeah, just, well, if anybody doesn't want to watch this, but, you know, it's like, I'm giving you all a visual here, all right, so you know what I'm talking about.
And before anyone says anything, this is real.
Oh, yeah, Why would you make this up? But this is Lenny with Lodi defending his cruiserweight title against Kaz Hayashi in 12 minutes. As can be expected, there's a lot of, look at me, I'm super obviously a homosexual spots done with Lenny, you know, where Lenny's literally, like rubbing him and humping him. And
this is the first time I'm going to say this show. Russo's not running things yet.
No. Nope.
Okay? Let's make that clear.
See, I always thought, in my mind, this was a Russo thing, but it's not.
I think his thing, if I remember correctly, his thing was making them actually brothers.
Yeah, because he's like, bro, like, it's fine that you're gay and that we're shoving it down people's throats, bro, but what's going to make this super, we got to come up with a super creepy end to the storyline, bro. How's it going to end and be like super awkward for everybody, bro? I get it. You're related. You're actually brothers, bro. So it's super weird when you're rubbing each other down, bro.
What the hell?
By the way, you can tell.
What's funny is that's probably exactly how it went.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. By the way, you can see Lodi is like balding here.
I want to just say, by the way, we got super off topic. I don't think Lenny Lane was a bad wrestler.
No, he didn't suck.
I don't think he ever got anything because...
No. Wasn't his whole thing to begin with that he looked like Chris Jericho?
Yeah, that was the thing. He used to come out with his hair like him, and he came out as him with the Cruiserweight title on because Jericho was, quote, busy. And he was
holy
like,
cow.
Kind of like an early version of Damian Sandow as the stunt double.
Good lord. But in the end, Lenny wins with the skull-crushing finale. I don't know what the hell he called it. Uncle Dave claims...
It wasn't changing lanes, was it?
I don't know. They didn't say. That would be clever. But
I think that's what it was called. Don't quote me on that, though. But...
Well, Uncle Dave claims this was the best match of the entire show, but neither man is taken seriously by WCW, so it's not like it matters. Okay. I mean, it didn't have a lot of competition, but I don't know if I'd agree with him. He gave this 3 3/4 stars. I gave it 2. Say you.
I gave it 2, but he might be on to something like best match in the card.
But this again is where I texted you and I was like, what show is he watching? Or is he just like super? This was 99. So as far as I know, weed was not legal yet in California.
No, I don't think he can't legal until he's 16, 17, something like that. So,
I mean, it doesn't mean he wasn't smoking it, but it just means it wasn't legal, I guess. So, I mean, he could have been super high watching this.
He's not funny or does anything like that, so he doesn't smoke weed. In fact, I would argue that if he smoked weed, he might be a little more tolerable.
Yeah, it might chill him out and make him normal. I don't know. But in the ring, Mean Gene Okerlund introduces his guest, Sting! Come out to the ring,
which is still happening to this very day, folks.
Yeah, not with Mean Gene, but yeah. Sting says that Lex Luger is really close to losing his friendship. Oh no, and that he doesn't have any issues with
now. Sting's friendship might mean something though.
Yeah, I know, but it's just
I'm talking about Joe Schmo here.
I know. I just like how that's a threat in a wrestling promo. I'm really close to not being friends with you anymore. Like, oh no! But anyway, he says he doesn't have any issues with Hulk Hogan until their match tonight. Oh, well, that's good. When Okerlund asks Sting what he thinks about potentially being the 9-time WCW champion tonight, Sting grabs the mic and says that he's back in black, and it's showtime tonight. Cool. My biggest note for this is, why is this segment happening on a pay-per-view? This is like a Nitro segment.
I literally have that written down, too. Was I watching
pointless.
A pay-per-view or an episode of Nitro?
Yeah.
My only thought is, I don't remember off the top of my head, my only thought is maybe a match got canceled or something and they need to fill some time. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's like, my thing was like, dude, why are you going to kill the pop for the main event by bringing Sting out now? Like, because by the main event, they're like, we already seen him. I just think that's stupid.
Because they're going somewhere completely more idiotic with the main event, dude. Okay. But I know, you don't want to get ahead of yourself. I can respect
you. Holy excuse the hell out of me, yeah. But up next, we've got the first family of Brian Knobbs and Hugh Morris, who, I don't know what the hell he's doing now, but he acts like he's got issues. I don't know how else to describe it.
Real quick, I heard Brian Knobbs is doing better.
What happened with him?
He had a bunch of problems with his knee, I think some breathing issues.
Oh, hell.
Something like that. But they say he's doing better.
Oh, well, that's good. He kicked out. That's good. But yeah, so
it's too nasty to die, dude.
Yeah, right. It's Brian Knobbs and Hugh Morris of the First Family with Jimmy Hart in their corner. They're taking on the Revolution of Shane Douglas and Dean Malenko. This is a no disqualification match that went 9.5 minutes. This one gets jump started right away with all four men brawling from even before the opening bell. I feel like this had, like, I don't know, man. I feel like I had two birthdays during this damn match. Like, it didn't suck, but I don't know. It just felt like it was way longer than 9.5 minutes. Maybe because I just didn't care. I don't know. In the end, Morris pins Malenko after hitting the no laughing matter. Uncle Dave
which he can do and Violent J can't.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Uncle Dave gave this 3/4 of a star. See, he couldn't even give this a whole star. I at least gave it 2.5. I thought it was average. Say you.
I gave it 2. It was okay.
Yeah. So.
I don't think I'll ever rate a Dean Malenko match less than 1 or less than 2.
Right. Well, you gotta let me know here. Maybe you can fill me in. What the hell is up with Hugh Morris at this time? He's walking around like looking like Festus.
I don't know. They never explained it.
Yeah.
But I do know he's about to. I mean, they're about to become the MIA, obviously, and
yeah.
Say that's the thing is like all 4 of them were not utilized. Or was it 5 of them?
Yeah, I don't remember who
Chavo,
the first line
Lash LaRue, and
Major Guns.
Major Guns and Stash, Van Hammer. But yeah, yeah, that was their thing. And then AWOL joined later. That was their thing. And they weren't being utilized, and they were dressing up like army because they were like gorillas, and they were just gonna do whatever they wanted. Stuff like that.
Yeah. And then they carry around squirt guns.
Yes.
not just regular squirt guns. It was, crap. Help me out here.
It was crap.
Grand.
You're right.
Wow.
Super Soaker.
Yeah, Super Soaker. Yeah. That was it, man. But what was not it was up next. It was Rick Steiner.
Oh, God.
It was Rick Steiner defending the WCW World Television title against Perry Saturn in about 9.5 minutes. These guys suplexed and beat the crap out of each other. In the end, Steiner wins with a diving bulldog. Uncle Dave gave it 2 stars. I give it 2.5 again for average. What say you?
I gave it 1. I hated this. I got bored.
I hated it at first, and then I ended up getting into it as it went on. So, I don't know. It was okay, I thought. I didn't give, like, I don't know. Rick Steiner, I was like, I feel like I should really care about him. I just don't. And then that damn bell had to ring, and I was like, I really don't give a damn about you.
I mean, the only thing I really liked is that, you know, he was from Michigan University, but that's about it.
Oh, my gosh. yeah, I don't even know what to say about that. Like, no wonder I didn't like him. But backstage, me,
2-time All-American, man. Liked it so much, went back and did it again.
Good Lord.
It's part of the song. Go look it up.
Wow. But, backstage, Mean Gene Okerlund standing by with Hulk Hogan. Okerlund is asking Hogan if he can be trusted tonight, and Hogan says that he swore to his kids that he's not running on the wrong side of the law again. Hogan says that Sting can trust him tonight, not to stab him in the back and screw him over. Here's where I put the note. I don't get this storyline. Sting and Hogan are opponents, so who cares if they can trust each other?
Because Luger was planting the seeds there.
Yeah, but who cares? Again, they're opponents.
I don't know. What's the logic of the match, dude? I don't. Just shut up and accept it.
This was so bad. I don't know. I was just like, and that was like the whole thing.
Let's just say once again, Russo's not there yet. Okay?
Yeah, more on that later.
It's
but
necessary to say that every time you say something bad about the show because, folks, it's going to get worse.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, speaking of which, up next.
Yeah.
We've got the worst match of the night. It's not even debatable. It's Berlin with the Wall, although
Berlin Wall.
I get it. I don't think he was called the Wall yet because they were on commentary. They acted like they didn't know his name. So I don't think they officially named him the Wall yet, who is Donald Trump's favorite wrestler, by the way.
Wow.
But Berlin is taking on
David Colby Covington, man. Those are his guys.
Good Lord. But Berlin is taking on Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Hell yes.
You heard me right. This one went about 8 minutes. It's 1999, and we're getting
minutes too long.
It's 1999, and we're getting a Jim effing Duggan match, taking on an anti-American German, might I add. For people that don't know, Berlin is Alex Wright, but he cut his hair into some like V-shaped, like mohawk type thing, dyed it jet black, and then he's got like a Fu Manchu or some crap that he also dyed jet black, and he's wearing tights, and he called himself Berlin.
And he couldn't stand all of you stupid Americans.
And apparently he only spoke German in his promos.
Dust Wunderkind spoke English, but yes.
Yeah, right. And the worst thing was in his original like build-up package and like vignettes and stuff, they had like footage of Nazis marching. And then they were like, somebody pulled like the warning on this one. They're like, what the hell? Do you seriously have like Nazis in your videos? And then like WCW was like, oops. Like, why is this the second time you have to be told don't make Nazi references?
I feel this is a good point in the show to throw in something. Should we say it again?
Vince Russo's not there yet. For those that are wondering, what was the other time that they had to be told? Was back in 95, they had Jeep Swenson, and they called him the Final Solution, which was what Hitler called his plan to exterminate the Jews.
I don't know. I'm just going to spitball here. Would it be safe to assume that this was Kevin Sullivan?
That was Sullivan, yeah. This, I don't know. I really don't know who's.
I think it might have been Sullivan here, too.
Might have been. Brother. And I said my first note about this was, Mother of God, this one is sloppy as all hell. It looked like neither man could communicate with each other. Well, you know, because Berlin was speaking German. The crowd was clearly bored to tears. Berlin was visibly shaking his head in frustration at one point. Did you catch that?
I saw him doing it. I just thought that's what he does.
Well, it was after they effed up quite a few spots, and then he just, like, grabbed a hold, and he's just sitting there just, like, shaking his head with this look on his face like, son of a... Like, you could tell he was pissed.
Look, I know some people love the guy. Maybe I did when I was a kid. But it's not like he was in there wrestling Kurt Angle or something.
Okay? No, Duggan sucks, man. Just like, yeah, as a kid, I thought he was awesome. And he always got big pops in the 90s. Well, not the late 90s. Nobody gave a damn about him here. But, yeah, he sucked, man. Every time he comes out now, I'm just like, oh, God. But the wall flat out tackles Jim Duggan outside of the ring at one point, and the ref just kind of like slightly looks to the side like, oh, but I'm not supposed to see this.
Right.
Just like, yeah. What the hell? Berlin wins.
Well, like the referees do.
Right. Berlin wins with a hangman's neck breaker. Uncle Dave says that the real story about this is that Buff Bagwell apparently complained about doing the job for Berlin, so they took him off of the match. Duggan only found out a few minutes before the match that they wanted him to fill in, so he had to rush to get into his gear, and he had nothing planned. It all fell apart, and this was a cluster F of a match because they weren't on the same page.
Who was it supposed to be?
Buff.
I didn't know that.
Which makes sense, because they kept talking all night about, well, he, you know, Buff is it. But it's like, was it really a few minutes, or was it from the beginning of the show? Because they kept playing up from almost go. They're like, well, Buff is supposed to be here, but we haven't seen him all day in the building.
So that's two times now I can think of at a fall brawl where they need someone to fill in, and it turns out to be Duggan. Because he debuted at fall brawl and took Austin's U.S. title.
Oh, yeah. Who was he filling in for?
Ricky Steamboat, I think.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, because that's comparable. I think that one was because Steamboat was hurt, right?
I think he was legitimately hurt, yeah. I don't think he ever wrestled again, honestly, until WrestleMania 25. I could be wrong on that, but that's the next time I saw him wrestle.
Yeah, right. I believe so. That is correct.
And the dude looked like he didn't lose a damn step, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he looked good regardless, but he especially looked good in there compared to the other guys he was up against.
And it was Chris Jericho, too, I won't forget, so.
Right. But Uncle Dave gave this -1 star. I gave it a star. I almost gave it negative as well. What say you?
Yeah, it was bad, dude.
This sucks so much ass. And backstage, we see Buff Bagwell.
By the way, I think that Alex Wright was an underrated wrestler. Not because of this, don't get me wrong. I just mean in the grand scheme. I thought he was damn good, but.
Oh, yeah, he was great. And according to Tony Schiavone, he had a low-key big hog, so...
Well, those German dudes are jacked.
Well, he kept... Anytime they watch old footage on... Or, you know, old WCW stuff on Tony Schiavone's podcast, and Alex Wright's on there, you know, he'll mention his low-key big hog, and Conrad's like, why are you looking? He was like, it's right there. It's like, man, put that thing away, Alex.
What the hell?
He's like, it's just hanging out there.
Why are you looking?
Yeah, right. But backstage, we see Buff Bagwell arguing with Mike Graham as Graham tells Buff that he never drew a dime. No, I'm kidding. But he tells Buff that he missed his match. Apparently, he was supposed to face off with Berlin. So Buff runs out, and he tries to hug Duggan, but Duggan shoves him off. Now I'm wondering if that was a shoot. Like, Duggan was like, F you, dude. That's pretty sad when, like, Duggan, like, more than paid his dues, and then it's like, hey, this guy doesn't want to do a job. Duggan, you get out there and do it. Like, seriously?
Yep.
Whatever. It doesn't get much better from this, people. The next match, I mean, it does get better, but only slightly. The next match is the West Texas Rednecks of Barry and Kendall Windham. They've got Kurt Hennig in their corner. They're defending the WCW World Tag Team titles against Harlem Heat, Booker T, and Stevie Ray. This match went about 13 minutes. This match was played up to be, like, great and historic, but it was a big nothing burger for me, and the crowd was virtually silent for the whole match yet again. Like, they just seemed like all you could hear in the crowd was, like, chit-chat throughout the whole night. Like, they hardly ever popped for anything.
Well, it's not like many of them were paying to be there.
Yeah, right. Hey, I was given this ticket. I came in off the streets. I just wanted a warm place to sit for a while. But there was a blown false tag spot where the referee tried telling Stevie Ray to get back in his corner, but Stevie completely blew the ref off because this wasn't the finish, so the dickless referee had to just let it go. In the end, the ref just...
I didn't catch that part.
Yeah.
I watched the match. I mean, I must have just not caught that was going on.
Right. Well, because he makes a false tag, the referee runs up. He's like, whoa, no, you got to get out. He's trying to tell him. And Stevie just, like, shoves him aside and keeps going. And the referee's, like, starting to count, and he realizes Stevie's ignoring him. He's like, F it. And he just ignores him. Wow, that's a precursor to AEW tag matches. Anyway.
Tag wrote my ass.
The hell? But in the end, the referee is distracted when Hennig clocks Stevie Ray with a cowbell in the back, real sentence, and Kendall pins him, but the referee was still distracted, so Kendall gets up and turns around, and Booker T missile drop kicks him for the pin and the win. Uncle Dave gives it a half a star. I at least give it 2.5 for average. What say you?
I gave it 2. I love Harlem Heat. The end of this match, though, dude, did you see when they won? There was some, like, white guy with a cowboy hat. He was wearing overalls. He was, like, in the fifth row, and he was throwing a fit.
What?
His hands were, like, up in the air. They were on his head, and he looked like he was, like, legit pissed, dude.
He's like, damn it, Rednecks, how dare you let them beat you? Oh, it was funny here.
Okay. It's okay to be a fan of them, but good Lord, man. It's like someone like sibling like someone just, like kidnapped his kid or something.
He's like, hot damn, rap is crap.
Oh man.
Well, coming up
also,
is
the whole West Texas Redneck. When you think about it, I know I'm stating the obvious, but that was just their way of creating like a race war, right? Without saying black and white. If you really think about it, they only feuded with white people.
Yeah,
and I guess when people got wise to it, they added Vincent.
Yeah,
Curly Bill.
I don't think it was supposed to be a race thing. I think it just kind of ended up that way. Bischoff talked about it.
That's right, but dude, think about it. They only feuded with Harlem Heat and the No Limit Soldiers.
I know that was the unfortunate thing about it. But I mean, and I buy Bischoff's explanation for this because he said this was Kurt Hennig in real life, and he really wanted to do something like this with his buddies. And
I'm not saying it was a racist thing. I don't think it was at all. Well, I just think it was unfortunate how it came off.
Right. Well, and he said the obvious opponents for him were the rap group of No Limit Soldiers. But, yeah, it's just weird that it goes from them to Harlem Heat.
See that.
Yeah.
It's not, like, out there.
It's just funny that
in watching this, though, I just thought to myself, like, wow, they only feuded with black wrestlers. It's kind of hard to ignore that.
Yep. Well, it's funny. You, in the play-up packages, you can hear, like, Booker T. He's like, rednecks, we coming for them titles.
Like, and you, oh get, you get Spring Stampede 97 flashbacks.
Oh, my gosh. Right.
See if anyone remembers that, by the way. I'm not going to touch that, but, you know.
Yeah, right. By the way, the I think the follow-up to – or no, it was before this was Road Wild, right? A month before this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so now in the archives, go check out – we covered
– the final match ever for Kevin Nash, right? Because he lost his career that night and had to retire, oh, right?
Yeah, right? And, you know, loser takes a long vacation match. Huh. So there you go. Anyway.
Again, now in the archives.
Right. But up next, the video for the next match shows that Sid Vicious was on a supposed winning streak of 79-0, where he...
Yeah, this was their thing, because he was going to be the Millennium Man and not lose.
Right, yeah, he was going to stay on that winning streak into the new century, or new millennium, whatever. But where he'd been pulling a Goldberg, basically, and running through guys in less than a minute, and even winning a few handicap matches. So, yeah. And, dude, Sid was still kind of over in 99.
I think eventually they would realize that people weren't booing him, so he becomes a face.
Yeah,
but right. That's a different, that's a whole different episode, though, but yeah.
I remember he wins the WCW, is it the WCW title, or that he wins?
He wins the WCW title, and then, Benoit wins it from him in a tournament, but he leaves WCW effectively as the champion, and then Sid wins it.
Well, because what I'm thinking of is he got stripped of it on the reboot episode.
Right, that's in April 2000. So.
Right, yeah, because I just remember then he's a babyface, and Eric Bischoff drops the smarky line of, what's the matter, Sid? You don't have your scissors? And then, like, nobody gave a damn about that line, so he repeated it. Still nobody gave a damn about that line. They're like, dude, that's for internet insiders. Like, shut up. And it was weird that it was Bischoff saying it.
I think he's just trying to fit in with Russo. Odd as that right. Sounds.
He was trying to make nice. But this match.
Bro, mention the scissors, bro. People will go crazy, bro.
Yeah, bro, remember that time when he almost killed a guy, bro? This next match is Chris Benoit defending the WCW United States Heavyweight title against Sid Vicious in just under 12 minutes. This is the second title match between them we've reviewed, by the way. The other one is Sold Out 2000, now in the archives. This one may have been the best match thus far, in my opinion. It was one of Sid's best, but not a great one for Benoit, so take that for what you will. In the end, Benoit misses the swan dive headbutt, Sid hits a powerbomb, and then makes the pin for the win. Uncle Dave gives it 2.25 stars. I give it 2.5. What say you?
I actually gave it 2.
Yeah, what do you think? Good, not good.
It was okay, but I think their sold-out match was way better. That's part of my problem with watching some of these like this, because I'm like, it's hard to rate this, because I know what they're capable of.
Right. And Uncle
it's really not fair, but, you know, that's just where my mind goes.
Uncle Dave dropped the line of, he said, well, Chris Benoit joins that rare company with Shawn Michaels of the two guys who got a good match at a Sid Vicious. It's like, all right, and I'll say this. You and I have both stated we're big Sid fans, but he was never a great wrestler.
No.
He just had it. So.
Sometimes that's all you need, dude.
Yep. But all right.
Yeah, I'm still a huge fan of his to this day.
Yeah. I'd pop to see him. Before the next match, Diamond Dallas Page comes out and grabs a microphone.
Diamond Dallas, white trash.
Good lord. But DDP comes out, he grabs a mic, and he says that he's the greatest two-time WCW champion of all time. Goldberg can come out, Aaron, come on and find out.
No, that's a thing. I'm the greatest two-time champion. So there's better three-time champions, better four-time.
Yeah, it's like, is that a crowded field? I don't know.
Isn't Dusty Rhodes a two-time champion? I don't think he won that many times.
I don't know. Yeah, he's a multi-time champion. I know that, but I think he's a multi-time NWA champion. I don't think he ever held WCW title.
That's what I mean. I think that to me that. When you go back in WCW title history, that's where it goes. So to me, that is.
Right. Yeah, the big gold and whatnot.
International title. Get it right, idiot.
But this match is Diamond Dallas Page versus Goldberg, about 9 minutes. The hottest the crowd has been all night is for Goldberg, by the way. They actually blow the roof off for him. DDP uses cheap shots and weapons.
Goldberg sucks. He can draw a dome.
No, yeah, right. Look, if you don't like him now, fine, I get it, whatever. But if somebody says he's always sucked and never drew, whatever, that's just dumb. Like, that's just really, really dumb. But anyway, DDP uses cheap shots and weapons and psychological warfare on Goldberg all match. Kanyon and Bam Bam Bigelow, who were the other members of the Jersey Triad, they even get involved behind the referee's back. And even once, basically, right in front of the damn dickless referee. So that's just like an ongoing thing all night.
How do you know he's dickless, by the way?
This man has no dick.
That is Walter Peck, excuse me.
Oh, yeah, right. But Goldberg's neck got cut, by the way, from a glass bowl that Kanyon hit him with at one point.
That's what? A bad foreshadowing.
Why the hell, by the way, multiple times in WCW, they've used random-ass glass bowls?
Because they got a discount somewhere. Where do you think they got that discount at?
Glass bowls are us? I don't know. But yeah, and Goldberg took Bigelow and Kanyon down before finally winning with a spear-jackhammer combo on DDP. Uncle Dave gave it 2.25 stars. I gave it 2.5. What say you?
I gave it 2.5 only because I know what these two are capable of from Halloween Havoc 1998 to the prior year. So.
Right. Yeah, this was not anywhere near as good, but it was all right. The glass bowl thing still bothers me, though. It's like, what the, like, why? Like, on multiple occasions. And it wasn't like the same dude, so you can be like, oh, well, that's their gimmick. I think Elizabeth used it one time. Kanyon here. I think there was another time. And I was just like, wow, okay.
It really bothers you.
Well, you know, because the glass bowls are frequently just left under the ring, right? Or in the back or whatever. Maybe they should.
I don't know what the hell you don't get about this, but yeah.
Man, my reasoning was that was the last thing they saw when leaving catering, and they're like, I'll hit him with this.
It's not ECW, dude.
Wow. The build-up package, well, actually, before we get into all the main event stuff, let's take our second to last break. When we come back, we're going to get into the main event.
Follow the Main Event Marks at facebook.com/MainEventMarksPod, on Twitter at MainEvent_Marks, and on Instagram at MainEvent_Marks and at MainEventCollector.
Fanatics offers the world's largest collection of official sports apparel and gear from all the leagues, teams, and players that you love, including the NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, NCAA, NASCAR, soccer, and golf. They even offer esports gear for the gamers among us. You can shop by brand, sport, team, or player. And if you sign up for Fan Cash, you get exclusive weekly deals. So head on over to Fanatics.com today. Fanatics is a sponsor of the Main Event Marks and Unhinged Sports Network.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Some people were made to follow the instructions. We were made to make our own. To always measure twice and never cut corners. Unless, of course, we've got a compound miter saw. Northern Tool and Equipment is a problem solver's paradise. There's nothing we can't find, fix, or figure out together. We're made for this. Start solving your projects today at northerntool.com.
Main Event Marks are available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Now back to the show.
And we're back. The build-up package for the main event shows us that Lex Luger has been trying to convince Sting that Hulk Hogan was driving the infamous white Hummer that kept taking people out. When did this first debut? Do you remember the white Hummer thing?
I know it was on Sting. And I don't remember like the exact date, but I do remember thinking it was Kevin Nash. I want to say it was after Hog Wild. I remember vividly watching it, thinking I had it pegged. It was Nash. That was my thinking.
And the thing is, they used that white Hummer like multiple times, and that's one of those WCW things. That, like, it never had a finish.
Which is really weird, because that never happens in WCW.
Yeah, right. Like, they never... And I think Conrad even asked Eric Bischoff, because he was the one to start. He was like, okay, who was the driver of the White Hummer? Do you even know? And he's like, I don't even think we had a... He's like, it was one of them, we're going to do this, and we'll figure it out later kind of things, and we never figured it out. But anyway, he also tried to convince Sting that Hogan was a scam artist and that he's constantly working against Sting. I actually have that bandana shirt combo that Hogan has at this time. My mom randomly bought it for me off of eBay one time for a birthday. But speaking of outfits, I want to know what the actual hell Michael Buffer is wearing here. Did you...
You don't like him looking like that?
That effing shirt, dude. I was like, where the F did you find that thing?
Well, he is probably running late, so he went to the North Carolina
Goodwill
outlet. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, good grief. That is just ridiculous. But before the opening bell, Bret Hart randomly comes out to wish both men luck, and then he just walks to the back. Okay. I guess to establish he's there. But
yeah, because he was gone after Owen had passed. This is a big, I'm coming back.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. But anyway, this is Hulk Hogan defending the WCW World Heavyweight title against Sting in just shy of 15 and a half minutes. This match basically seems like every Hogan-Sting match ever. Hogan's doing a bit less heel stuff, but it's all pretty much the same. DDP actually rushes out near the end, and he knocks out the referee before hitting the diamond cutter on Hogan and dragging Sting on top of him. For the near fall, DDP hits the diamond cutter on the referee now, and Bret Hart comes out, attacks DDP, and then Sid Vicious and Lex Luger run in, and they get taken out by Hogan. Luger had handed Sting his black baseball bat, and after some waiting around and stalling, Sting beats down Hogan with the bat, knocking him down. He locks in the Scorpion Deathlock, and as the new referee now says he's passed out, awarding the match to Sting. Uncle Dave gives this a star and a half. I give it 2.5 for average. What say you?
I gave it 2, but man, it's like I remember watching this. I'm like, why the hell did they make Sting bad? What the hell sense did any of that make?
Right. Yeah, it's just...
Because honestly, I don't think the fans ever started booing him. Maybe a couple here and there, but like, that was still Sting, dude.
I feel like they thought that they needed some big-time heels since Hogan was face again and Nash was gone.
And they
picked
Sting?
I guess. I don't know, man. His heel runs were weird. But... after the show, Eric Bischoff was effectively fired from WCW. Technically, he was reassigned to a new position in the Turner organization, but make no bones about it, he was fired. A number of issues led to Bischoff's firing, including numerous bad deals, falling TV ratings, declining attendance, and poor pay-per-view buy rates, among others. WCW was temporarily...
They haven't even tipped the sword with bad pay-per-view buy rates yet, huh?
Yeah, right. WCW is temporarily being run by Bill Bush, who was a WCW executive and has been promoted to Bischoff's former position of executive vice president. TV producer Craig Leathers has the final say on creative decisions, and the booking committee is the same as it has been. The booking committee is actually Kevin Nash, Dusty Rhodes, and Kevin Sullivan. So there you go. But yeah, so that's the end of the show, man. I guess we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we are going to get into the final ratings and tell you what's to come on next week's podcast right after this.
Follow the Main Event Marks at facebook.com/MainEventMarksPod, on Twitter at @MainEvent_Marks, and on Instagram at @MainEvent_Marks and at @MainEventCollector.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If you're looking for your next new truck, trust Rush Truck Centers, the nation's largest commercial vehicle dealer network. Rush Truck Centers has trucks in stock throughout the country, including heavy, medium, and light-duty work vehicles. Plus, they offer a wide range of programs that help coordinate, monitor, and expedite vehicle service and repairs throughout their qualified service facilities. Check out their online inventory today at rushtruckcenters.com. That's rushtruckcenters.com. Expect more from Rush Truck Centers. Please speak to your Rush Truck Centers representative for further details.
The Main Event Marks are available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Now back to the show.
All right, we're back.
Yeah, we're back.
Final time of the show. IMDb gives this 6.2 out of 10. CageMatch.net rates it 4.45 out of 10. I give it 6.5 out of 10 for D. What say you?
I gave it a solid F. This pay-per-view sucks.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Say that. I can't even fake it. It's just... yuck.
Well, that whole thing was a Prom Night flashback.
What the hell?
All I heard was I can't fake it and yuck. I mean, it's two different things, keep in mind, but... anyways, sorry.
Holy freaking cow. I don't even know where to go with that one, but yeah. Either way, next week, man, we're going to bring you something a lot better next week. And we're going back to the WWF again. We keep switching back and forth, WCW to WWE. This one is at least from the new millennium. We're getting out of the 90s now. And we're going to review a show that is, well, it's going to be 20 years old this month. And it's dropping the day after my birthday. I will be 31 years old. So, yay me.
I ain't saying anything. It's in your birthday, so nice try.
Yeah, right. But for my birthday, we're going to be reviewing WWF Unforgiven 2001.
This is the technically the third match of the Invasion or pay-per-view. Oh, I guess it is the third. I guess it's not technically at all. Okay. Yeah.
So, SummerSlam, Invasion?
Invasion and itself. Yeah, and then that's it. Or Invasion, SummerSlam, that's, yeah.
Oh, okay. And then we get Survivor Series after
that
this. That
was my first SummerSlam I was ever at. No Mercy comes after this, and then Survivor Series.
Oh.
In hindsight, when you think about it, the Invasion is not that long, dude. If you want to count King of the Ring when it kind of starts, that's when Booker T arrives, to Survivor Series, and that's it.
Yeah, I think we had talked about that before. It really, in retrospect, was, what, 7-8 months? Something like that?
Oh, not even that. June, July, August, September, October, 5.5 months.
Hot damn. Yeah. Wow. They could have rode that thing out for a while, and then they were just like, nope, it's dead. But anyway, yeah, for my birthday week, man, it's a double main event week. So we get two shows, or you guys get two shows. We're bringing you...
And we're going to Extreme Rules that week.
The 21st.
Yeah, we're going within that week. It's going to be the 26th, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so, yay! Happy birthday to me. We get a lot of wrestling.
I've not hung out with you since Series 19. It's 2019, right?
Yep. So it's been almost 2 years. But, for double main event week, man, on Wednesday, like I said, WWF Unforgiven 2001, and the bonus show, freaking bonus, we're bringing you Vince Russo Runs WCW into the ground.
Into the ground.
This one is going to be, because we can't, in an hour and a half, which we like to keep the show to, we can't do justice to his entire run in WCW. There's just no way. So what we're going to do, as of now, unless I feel like I need more material for the show.
I don't think material on Vince Russo is hard to come by, so you'll be fine.
Right. But as of right now, we're going to be covering the period of when he takes over after Halloween Havoc this year, 1999, to when he first takes his ball and goes home to cry, bro.
And that's January?
I think so. And that's
when Eric Bischoff gets his ball. I want to say sold out is either his last show or he leaves right before it. Something around sold out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, probably. So,
don't worry, we'll have all the facts ready when we go.
Yeah, right. I think I remember that note from our sold out 2000 show, if I remember correctly. So I'll have to go back and check the notes. But you guys can go back in the archives, check that out to prepare yourself And if you want more 1999 in WCW, which who wouldn't, you can go check out.
Hey, still better than 2000 WCW, right?
Yeah, but what's that saying?
But not a lot. I'm just saying there's an out.
Yep. But you can go back and check that out now. In the archives, we cover the show right before this, like we talked about, the very last Road Wild from 1999. That was, well, it was not a good one. That one sucked. But we made it entertaining. There were some things to laugh at. Whatever. And like I said, there was a loser gets time off match as the main event. So there's always that. And then just to close out the month of September, our very last show of the month on the 29th, we are talking about TNA Unbreakable 2005. I think this was the first and last Unbreakable until just a couple of years ago. They brought the name back.
I think it was a couple of months ago, honestly, actually.
Yeah, they had one a couple of they had one last year or the year before. I want to say it was the year before they started using the name again. So I was like, oh, they dug that one up, huh? But yeah, this Unbreakable was really good. This is the one that we talked about. Features the infamous triple threat between AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, and Samoa Joe. The greatest triple threat match of all time. I won't even hesitate to say that. And you think it's I'm with you. It's at least one of the greatest wrestling matches of all time. Not just triple threats, but just matches. Period.
I sometimes argue that it is the greatest match ever.
I'm still partial to Shawn Michaels and Undertaker, but. There is a definite argument to be made for this one. But, all right, man. That one does it. I'm kind of glad to be done with this one. Like I said, I didn't know what the show had on it until I booked it, and then I'm like, mother of God. But, hey, it's out of the way, and there was plenty of news to talk about, and a lot of you tune in just for the news.
Just
so.
Rip the Band-Aid off, man. That's all.
Yep. Hey, we got to talk about ICP a lot, so, you know, we're... Lucky us, man. We're blessed. Hashtag blessed.
This episode of ICP, drugs, I think there's some death in there.
Yep. What is it? Some, you know, somebody getting sued for assault. You know, I mean, hey, we ran the gamut on this one, man. The only thing we didn't talk about technically was porn, although we did talk about a couple people who went on to do porn. So there you go. Hey, you know, we hit the main event marks bingo. We'll see you next week, ladies and gents, for our double main event week. I'm excited for this one. I've been wanting to talk about our bonus show for a while.
You're excited, man. Fill my nipples.
Got one more in. We'll see you next week for double main event week. It's Unforgiven 2001, and Vince Russo runs WCW into the ground.
If you're looking for your next new truck, trust Rush Truck Centers, the nation's largest commercial vehicle dealer network. Rush Truck Centers has trucks in stock throughout the country, including heavy, medium, and light-duty work vehicles. Plus, they offer a wide range of programs that help coordinate, monitor, and expedite vehicle service and repairs throughout their qualified service facilities. Check out their online inventory today at rushtruckcenters.com. That's rushtruckcenters.com. Expect more from Rush Truck Centers. Please speak to your Rush Truck Centers representative for further details.